Blog Talk Radio.
Disappointed you missed Casilla and T. Meyer last week and our special guest, but hey, guess what? We're here and we are excited and we are going strong, right, Pastor Casilla?
Yeah, we had some technical difficulties, but we're back, and now we're past April 8th. Everybody was all fearful about April 8th.
That's true. Yeah.
Look, you made it. Now you got another day to repent.
Yeah. All of us, we have time to repent.
Yeah. We got another, by God's grace, day to wake up and get it right.
Get it right, man. And, I'm really excited today. You know, as a matter of fact, I want to tell everybody right now to pick up their phones, grab their computers, go to your inbox or text your family, friends, and a few of your enemies, and encourage them to dial in right now. Our number to dial in is 646-668-8537. I'm going to repeat that. That's 646-668-8537. 8537. Give them that number, okay? And or you could just go to my webpage on Facebook, T. Meyer McCain, T-I-E-M-E-Y-E-R McCain, M-C-C-A-I-N. Just go to T. Meyer McCain on Facebook and click on the link for this particular broadcast. If you want to listen from your computer. So you just go there so you can listen from your computer. And you might also see our post on Instagram or on Twitter. Just, if you see it on Instagram and Twitter, just dial in. But if you want to listen from your computer, you can go to my Facebook page and you can hear this broadcast, not just tonight, but all this week. All right? So, or you can just go to, you can even go to Solar Records Radio and find Christian Talk with T. Meyer and Casilla. TNT.
You got to let them know, Pastor T, that we moved and we have a new address.
Oh, yeah. Of course. Absolutely. Church of Jesus Christ Ministry. We have moved to another location. So you can come and worship with us, okay? Come and visit our church of Jesus Christ Ministry, We are located at 8470 Nuevo Avenue. That's 8470 Nuevo Avenue, Fontana, California, 92335. It's in Fontana, so just come on. Nuevo means new, and it's time for us to start anew, get a new start. Our services start at 1:30 p.m., so come and worship with us. That's right, I said 1:30 p.m. in the afternoon. Get a load of that, huh? We start in the afternoon, so praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. What else am I? Oh, yes, we don't want to forget about the book, Who is God?
Oh, yeah.
Let's go ahead and talk about that. The book, Who is God? Yeah. Unveiling the Mystery. That book is located right it's available right now on Amazon. Who is God? Unveiling the Mystery. Just go to Amazon and put that title in there, and it'll pop right up, and you go ahead and order it. And listen, if you order it now, you will get it in 2 days. Now, that's not bad, okay?
Yeah,
also, and you can even, also catch us on hsbn.tv. Yep, hsbn.tv. Our show is called The Message of Life. With T. Meyer and Tasila McCain, The Message of Life. So you can see us and hear these good messages that we strongly believe that the Lord is giving to us to give to you. So you can catch us on that. So you make sure you go to hsbn.tv and check it out, okay? And you can actually catch us on a lot of other programs also. You can actually go to YouTube and put The Message of Life with T. Meyer and Tasila McCain, and it'll pop up. And you can just click on whatever program you want to hear, The Message of Life with T. Meyer and Tasila. Or you can go to our webpage, churchofjesuschristministry.com. When you get there, just click on the little lines that's on the left, and it'll help you navigate through the web page. And you just go to media, and you put in, and you click on media, and it'll take you right to The Message of Life. And you can go ahead and check out all the programs. And I'm sure, I know you will be blessed. Okay, you will be blessed. So you make sure that you do that. Let's see, I think that's it for my announcements, Pastor Tasila. Do you have anything?
That sounds good, and I'm just waiting on you.
You're just waiting on me. Okay. Yeah. Well, listen, everybody, wait for a while. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this. Stay right there. Yes, indeed. We got the victory. We have the victory. You are listening to Christian Talk with T. Meyer and Tasila, also known as TNT. Thank you, Lord. I'm feeling so good tonight, and it's so good to be here. And wait a minute. What is that? Hold on. Do you hear that? What's that noise?
I do.
Yep, that's it. Boy, I tell you, you just can't feel, you can't fool our listeners. They know exactly what that means. That means that it is time for our special guest. Pastor Tasila, who is our special guest today?
Oh, boy, we are calling on Brother Ricky Abernathy, one of your childhood friends.
Yes, indeed.
And fellow Lakeside brethren.
Yes.
And brethren in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
I'll let you give it his.
I'm just going to tell a little bit about Ricky because he's going to really carry us, you know, through his journey. Ricky Abernathy was one of the original members of Lakeside way back in the beginning. A lot of people don't know that. Way back in the beginning, Ricky Abernathy was one of our lead and background singers. Beautiful voice. I can remember the first time I met him. You know, when I first saw him, he was singing. Ricky is going to share his journey with us, you know, from the Lakeside days, during the Lakeside days. Well, he's going to share his journey from before the Lakeside days, during the Lakeside days, and after Lakeside. And he's going to share with us how the Lord has always been with him and brought him to where he is now, even to the place of meeting his beautiful wife. And he's going to share all of that with us, you know. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome Mr. Ricky Abernathy.
Yeah. Hey.
Hey, Rick, what's up, man?
Oh, man. Blessed and honored to be here.
Yes, this
occasion. And it is. By being with you, it is momentous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I heard the introduction. It was great, and I'm just trying to figure out where to start. So maybe you should guide me a little bit.
You can take us all the way back from when you was a baby, because I remember you told me a lot of interesting stories, man. When you was coming
up,
you know.
He remembered that.
Yeah.
I remember when I was two.
Well, I remember because I loved what was going on at the time. You know, I've always had that music spirit in me. You know, the love of singing and sound and the adventure, the whole thing. The whole jazz. I loved it all. My father's friends he was a great singer, you know, and he kind of taught me a lot, you know. I didn't realize it, but I was a little bit ahead of my time singing. So that's because a lot of his friends were, you know, like people like Otis Redding, Jackie Wilson, the Five Blind Boys, you know, different groups like that. They would stay at our house, you know, when they would come to town. They didn't go to hotels. They would come to the house because we would sit up all night just singing. So
wait a minute, was Jackie Wilson at your house, Ricky?
Yeah, Jackie Wilson, Sam Cooke.
And T. Meyer didn't know it.
I didn't know him at that time.
I was just a kid. And I used to sit on the steps and watch them sing and harmonize all night. So I picked that up, and I was like, wow, I want to do that so bad, you know. So my father, you know, he taught me to sing, you know. Well, I don't know if he taught me or not. It was already in me. He just brought out things over there, the love that I had for it already. So I learned a lot about singing and harmony and vocalization. So I would go around the neighborhood and find guys that were like-minded, you know, that wanted to sing as well, you know. So I ran into a few people like Steve Shockley, the guitar player with Lakeside, Tony White, Brian Mulberry, and of course T. Meyer.
Yeah.
And they were, when I ran into these guys, I had to be careful what I asked for because they were deadly serious about singing. You know, and it was like a fun thing for me. But I remember the days. T. Meyer, you might remember this one. My friends would say, "Here they come, Rick." They would come down the street like patrolmen looking for me. Time to go to rehearsal. They were serious about that. They'd spread out in the neighborhood and find me. And, you know, I was glad they did. But, you know, I was living a different type of lifestyle then. I was just a little street guy. And the friends I had were street guys, too. So was a different kind of guy to me, you know. So I would hide from him, actually. I would hide from him. But he always managed to find me. There was nowhere to find me. And then I met his family, and I got connected to his family. So that made it even easier for him to find me. But we would get together, and they were serious about singing. They wanted to harmonize and things like that. We weren't thinking about playing or singing anywhere. We just enjoyed getting together and singing. And they were serious. T. Meyer and the rest of the guys, they took it serious. Like, we had shows to do. We had no show in sight. Nowhere. But they just enjoyed doing it. And so I passed on some of the things that I had been learning to them. And so, it became a brotherhood with the cats in the neighborhood. One thing led to another. Some people picked up instruments and started playing, and suddenly it turned into a group.
Yeah.
It turned into a group. I remember sitting in high school, not even in high school yet. I was sitting in school waiting for the bell to ring so we could go to the underground. Remember, we used to rehearse at the underground. You remember that, Chief?
Yeah,
right?
At the underground. Right.
Yeah. Terry's mother's dress shop or whatever that was in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing led to another, and suddenly we found ourselves serious about it. And then we met people like people from the Ohio Players. Like, our neighborhood was just saturated. Zap.
Yeah.
Faisal.
Yeah.
Son. Just a lot. Ohio Players.
Yeah.
That was everybody's mentor.
Mm-hmm. Heat Wave, all of them. Yeah.
Heat Wave, all of us. You know, so we just got serious, and these guys were serious, and we sounded so good together, so good together. I was just stuck with it. But at the same time, I still hung out with my street friends, and T. Meyer and the guys would always have to try to find me and rehearse. But as we progressed on, we put together
You know what was so funny?
Go ahead.
We would have to track you down, but then once we tracked you down and we start rehearsing, you just loved it, you know?
I loved it.
And I'm saying, well, why is it so hard to get this boy to come to rehearsal? When he comes, he loves it, you know?
Right, to the day, because I was reenacting the things that I had seen growing up. And like I said, we sounded so good together, you know? I mean, you had the sweetest tenor ever, you know what I mean? So it was like I was impressed with what we had. And then Stevie learned to play the guitar, and one thing led to another. And I think it was Sugarfoot from Ohio Players told me he said, "If you guys learn how to play instruments, you're going to be really good." That was when Junie got with us, when started showing us stuff. And Dwayne Hayes, that used us. But we learned a lot by these older guys, more experienced than us. But we learned a lot. And we learned so much that right now today, all those guys say they taught us everything we know. I don't know if you knew that, Tima, but I talked to them. I taught y'all everything y'all know. No, you didn't. You laughed at us.
I know.
Yes, but one thing led to another, and we got serious, you know. And then the travel bug hit us, so we started to travel in the summer locally. Remember Oklahoma City, Cincinnati, Indiana. We started to travel, and so I'm like, hey, this is really real stuff here.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff here. And I didn't know it then, but I know now. We were being guided. God had his hand on us. Because, you know,
yeah.
we went through situations that a lot of situations that as kids out there in that big old dangerous world, because we were kids traveling.
Yeah.
We were kids. Somebody was watching over us. You
That's
know how
right,
to song,
man.
Somebody pray for me. That's
yeah.
young and mine. You know, somebody pray for us all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, when mm-hmm. I think back to you, Mar, that was we were courageous to go out there like that. You know,
I know.
And then when we left school, everybody left school, graduated from school, we had this great idea to go to California. Who does that?
Yep. Didn't know anybody
out pockets, you know. Nobody, no money, no nothing. Let's go to California. But you know one thing? The reason I agreed to do it, because we were so good, I knew that if we get to California and somebody sees us, we're going to get a chance. Somebody's going to
yeah.
give us an opportunity. And I remember
yeah.
sleeping on benches and nightclubs and stuff like that. People
yeah,
giving
right.
us
yeah.
places to lay our heads and all that.
Mm-hmm.
People bringing us, sharing bologna sandwiches with us, bringing us jugs of Kool-Aid. I remember all of it, man. And those are great, fond, great memories. That's so memorable. I'll never forget it. You know, that's our
mm-hmm.
history.
Nobody
can
you
ever
know
take
something,
that from us.
I know. And during the time we just took it all for granted. We was just adventurous, and we was just
yeah,
out there trying to survive. And when you think back on it, you know, like you said, you knew that the Lord had his hand on us. You know,
he had his hands on us.
He had his hands on us all throughout that time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then we – go ahead.
How
did
we survive that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was always amazing, the thought of how we – T-Mod, we were kids, man.
Yeah, we had
we
a
were
brotherhood.
Out in California,
you know.
Thousands of miles from home as kids.
Yeah, and we just watched out for each other, that's all. You know, and the
yeah.
you know, not knowing that the Lord was with us, but you know, we just thought it was like, hey, you know, we family from Ohio, hey, you know, and just looking out for each other.
All
but
right.
God directed our whole path, Ricky, yours and mine.
Yes, He did.
He directed our
yes,
whole
he did.
Path. Because we managed to get that record deal at Motown, and
yes, we did. That's right. That's right.
Yeah, we got that record deal at Motown, started working with a lot of the Motown people and hanging out with them, and I was just starstruck, you know. But we went through all of that, you know. So,
fan.
yeah, big time. And so when we did,
yeah,
when we did all of
it. All the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Go ahead, man.
And it was a lot of –
it's good. For me, it's good to hear somebody else say it. But sometimes I'm like, did that really happen? So I think to myself sometimes, did all of that really happen? I even had a guy one time, he asked me, he said, man, can I write a – he said, that's impossible for you guys to have done that. Like, can I write a book on it? He already had published books. And I was like,
that
hey.
Right?
You know, said, yeah, because he said, that's impossible. What you're explaining to me, you guys couldn't have possibly done all that. Yes, we did. But, you know,
we did
were
that and a lot and a lot more. We
mm-hmm.
did that and a lot more, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a little success with Lakeside
right.
at Motown. But then, Ricky, you had your path that God was bringing
exactly.
you to. Let's take it from there.
Well, what I did is after the group, sadly, you know, we went our separate ways. You know, I think I stayed at Motown for a while, and then I left, and then I got re-signed to Motown. You guys were over at Solar. And
mm-hmm.
it was like family. I was heartbroken. It was like leaving a marriage. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you know then, my pride was thick at that time.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
so many
yeah.
times I wanted to say, okay, y'all, come on, let's go back. But I was so prideful. And then that's when I knew the evil forces were working then, because there was no way I shouldn't have went back, because we were like family. Man. You know, it's like when we got the deal at Motown, you know, they didn't sign everybody, you know, but we didn't know.
Right.
We get the check, we split. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Front money, we split it, because that's how we were. This is family. And so when I left, and everybody's probably wondering what happened to me, because when I talk to some of the group members sometimes, they said, man, you missed the voyage. You missed the voyage. I said, yeah, but the traveling and the fun. I said, well, I didn't miss it. You know, I just went a different route. You know, I went out with other people. I found out with other people. But what was different is I was a principal in Lakeside. I wasn't a principal in some of the other situations. I went out as a background singer or co-writer on some stuff, like, you know, different things like that. But, you know, but I missed the group the whole time. I'm telling you that now. I don't know if I've ever confessed that to anybody, but I did miss the group, because it wasn't so much the singing thing. It was the camaraderie.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
We were family, man. We were like family. But I had an opportunity to, when Casey and JoJo, there was a group called Jodeci. A lot of people probably know about Jodeci. Casey and JoJo, the two lead singers, left Jodeci. And MCA Records heard that I knew how to put together background vocals, old school, gospel type background vocals. And that's what they wanted for Casey and JoJo. So they gave me a budget to go find some singers, some band members and all that. So I just went and got local talent, like we did from Mavericks, you know, just different people, you know, from my journey. And I put together a group for them, and they came and they liked it. And just so happened they had a hit record that was being written at the time. As a matter of fact, I kind of laughed at it a little bit when they said, "All My Life." I said, that was so un-Jodeci.
Yeah.
the record became a hit, and we went out on tour.
Yeah.
We stayed out there for about 4 years, traveling the world.
Yeah.
So I didn't miss that part. I didn't miss that part. The part I missed is me being out front.
Mm-hmm.
All the travels, all through the 90s, everybody that made records in the 90s, I was out there with them. But I got caught up, doublehead. He got his grips on me again. I was like, the drinking started, you know, the smoking marijuana, all this. It just, you know, like they say, your misery can be refunded to you. And it was.
Mm-hmm.
It all came back, you know. And I had, like you said, I had a beautiful wife, you know. At the time I met her, she was singing with Stevie Wonder. I was out there doing my thing with Casey and JoJo, and she would always tell me, "You're getting caught up. You're getting caught up.
Mm-hmm.
We got to pray about this. Pray." I was half-heartedly praying, you know, because I knew what I was supposed to do. I just wasn't doing it, because if I gave up and just committed myself to God, I felt like I wouldn't fit what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to fit. You know, but it all, you know, they said this could come to a tragic end. This could end badly for you, Rick. It could end badly for you. And it did. It ended badly. You know, and I'm sad to say, you know, I'm embarrassed to say sometimes, you know, through the drugs and the alcohol and, you know, all the fast life of the music business, it led me to incarceration.
Yeah.
You know, I found myself in a whole nother world now that I had to adjust to and adapt to, and I did. But sometimes a curse can become a blessing because God set me aside. He set me aside. That was a time out for me, and it took me a while, because I was so angry and vengeful. You know, when bad things happen to you, you look for somebody to blame, you know.
Right, right.
Even when you know it's you, you did this, Rick. But I can't accept the fact that I did this, so I'm looking for somebody to blame. This person did this to me. If he wouldn't have did that, or she wouldn't have did that to me, I never would have ended up here, you know. But it was all a lie. And it took a while for me to realize that. So I picked up the book and I started to read. I said, I'm not going to read the Bible. I'm going to study it. Because I was watching other young men and they were so faithful. How could you be so faithful in this horrible condition that we're in right now? How can, but I would watch them too much. I would watch them and I would see the adversity they would go through, people, the attacks and all that, and how they handled it. And I was like, I want to be like that. I want to be that way. You know, I want to be a child of God because God was watching over them. Because there was a lot of terrible things happening inside like that, but it wasn't happening to them. So I knew they were being watched over, you know, and I would listen to their counsel. I would listen to their guidance. So I started at night going around and saying, can you talk to me? Can you share with me? Can you pray with me? Can I talk to you? And the more I did that, the more involved I became, the more the light was shown on me. I was like, I know where I'm supposed to go now. I know where I'm supposed to go. So one of them, they heard, because I never told nobody about Lakeside. I never said anything about anything. But, you know, the world's not that big. You know, I've been in Africa and seen somebody, ran into somebody I've seen him watch. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, So this guy said, man, you wait, Lakeside, man, what happened? And, you know, I told the story. And he said, man, what you need to do is you need to start going over there to the church, man. Get with the brothers, talk, share, man, and you know, try to get your life right. Try to get yourself back on track, bro. Because you're not in here forever. And this was a lifer that was saying this to me. A brother that's never ever getting out. So I started going over there and I would meet the pastors and they said, I heard that you sing. I said, yeah. I heard you play guitar. Yeah, I heard you write songs. Yes. They said, have you ever thought about singing for the Lord? That was his plan for you the whole time. So I stopped talking so much to him and I started listening. I closed the mouth and opened the ears. And they said, listen, you do this. I'm going to introduce you to some young men that you can fellowship with and talk to and get some guidance, and I did that. And they asked me, hey, man, why don't we start a praise team? Praise team? Define that for me. You know what I mean? What is that?
Yeah.
You know, right. What are y'all trying to say? What are y'all trying to tell me right now? Start a praise team, man. So I did that. I got 12 people, and I started a praise team. And we started to play in church original songs and all the classics, you know, from all genres. You know, we started to play that music. And the pastor came to me one day, and she said, do you notice how this congregation has grown since you started this praise team? And from that point on, my faith grew stronger and stronger. Stronger. Suddenly I wanted to help. I got out of myself and I wanted to help other people. You know, I wanted to share. And someone came to me and said, man, I think God put it on my heart, man, for you to start ministering. I said, no, you didn't put it on my heart. He didn't tell me. So my pastor told me, you're ministering already, Rick. Just stay right there with the praise team. You are ministering in song. Because a lot of the songs that I would write, Timar, they were really testimonies. And in the place that I was at, they could relate. You know what I'm saying? They could relate. Because everybody came from terrible backgrounds. I mean, gang bangers, murderers, thieves, you know. But they started to come to church and give them their lives to God, man. And they were... This praise team, you didn't do it. This praise team and the ministry that you put together for this praise, with this praise team, these guys aren't afraid to come forward now. They're not afraid. So from that point on, you know, God has had his hand on me and he's watched over me. Because I go through situations, but not bad situations. I be the best that I can be. I share I don't want anything from it. People are, oh man, my wife told me, do you record for people? Because I started a record company, a label. You record for people, you write for people, and they don't pay you. Why don't you get paid? I give vocal coaching sessions. I do it every, once a week. Now there's a couple of groups that are coming out, and I'm vocal coaching, and my wife says, why don't you get paid? How come you're afraid to ask them for money? And I tell her, I'm getting paid. I'm being paid. Mm-hmm. I'm doing God's work. I'm doing God's work there. He's touching my heart. You don't know the fulfillment I get every time I help somebody. Or if I can guide somebody, and they call, or they'll call me and say, Rick, can you pray with me? They started calling me Mr. Rick. And when people would, I noticed that my life had made a transition when people would talk to me and they would slip and swear, say a bad word, and they'd go, oh, I'm so sorry, Mr. Rick. I was like, wow. You know, suddenly dawned on me that, you know, I don't swear. I don't, and they apologize when they say one bad word. You know, I'm like, my life is certainly taking a change. So I get a great joy. I said all that to say I get a great joy out of ministering and sharing my life with people that think they're lost. Sometimes they think they're the only people going through that. But I let them know, you're not. You're not. You've been to prison, Rick? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've been there. I've done it all. T-Mar, you know I was a bad kid anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You knew that.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So it stayed with me. It stayed with me. And when I left the group, all that came back, you know. All that came back. I got caught up in that whirlwind, but God saved me. It's either death or institutions. Someone told me, God told me, I'm going to put you in an institution. I'm going to set you aside. You got a timeout. And I learned some things there. He saved my life, and I'm so grateful. Saved my life, and I'm so grateful. And I'm so grateful to the brothers that ministered to me and shared with me their lives and let me know I'm not alone. I don't have to be ashamed. I'm not alone. There's a lot of people going through this, you know. Mm. And so people would trust me with information about their lives, that they things they should never tell anybody. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But they trusted me. They trusted me with that information. Because I realized that he had to get that out of himself. He had to release that. Tell somebody this. Because it was nightmares. And the things they told me, it's like, I would tell them, don't ever repeat that to anyone. I grew to love them and understand them, and you got some people that won't understand. They won't understand. We're all God's children. We're all God's children, man. And if you're willing to turn your life around, give your life to God, come on. Here's your second chance right here, right now. Don't worry about what man thinks. Mm-hmm. We're in this world. We're not of this world. Mm-hmm. You know, let's get prepared.
I've said that before to people too. I've heard, and I've said, don't say that to anybody else anymore.
Exactly.
Keep that right here, okay? Because it's too deep.
Because you released it.
It's just the release. And even the scripture tells us to share our faults with one another.
And I do. I do freely now. Like, I used to be ashamed to tell people that I've been incarcerated in my life. You know, I used to be ashamed to do that. But now it's like, that's me. How can a person understand me if they don't know the truth about me, especially my pastors and the people that I fellowship with? I want them to know me.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know them. And they shared with me. Like I said, the greatest gift was they let me know that I'm not alone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not in this bundle. I'm not by myself. The greatest. These are some great people. A lot of them are out ministering today, Kimar, and they've never changed. They've never changed. They're out there now. They have churches all over L.A., Chicago. There's a few people that moved, that got out and moved to different places. And we check with each other all the time. Are you still preaching? But yeah, Rick, you need to come. When you come to New York, come to my church. And I'm so proud of them. And they're proud of me. Because we're on that path. We're on a journey. We're on God's journey now. Man has nothing to do with this. Like you said, and God tells me, you got to love them. You don't have to like them, but you got to love them. You got to love your fellow man.
And everybody is short of the glory, you know. Whether they want to realize it or not, they have
it falls short,
you know. Everybody
we only know short. We only know one perfect man. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
We only know one perfect man. The rest of us, we fall short. We're going to fall short. That's why we have to pray incessantly. I sin and thought daily. Daily. My thoughts. You know, I love the thoughts. You can sin in what you think. You know, until I got better, I see a woman walking down the street. Wow. You know, suddenly somebody would tell me, you know, look, that's if you're thinking it, you're doing it. So,
that's an adult.
So I had a lot of things I had to pay attention to in my life. And I slowly shed those things. You know what I'm saying? I see the beauty in a person now. Not the beautiful. You know, I see the beauty in the person, the character in the person. You know, that's how I weigh them now. Man and woman. You know, men and women. You know? So my journey has been a tough one. And Timar, everybody that, you know, all those guys that you used to see me hanging out on the street with when you used to come policing me, when you used to come down the street, catching me, go that way, Tony, Brian, go that way. He's trying to get away. All those guys are dead, man.
Yeah.
All of them are gone.
Yeah.
The little, you know how in school everybody has a little clique that they grew up with and did your dirty deeds with, partied with, all of them are gone. The only friends that are alive that I have are the Lakeside friends. You guys are the only ones still alive. They're all died tragic deaths. Some of them just grew old before their time.
Yeah.
That's why I stopped going to Dayton, Timon. Because when I go to Dayton, everybody that were my age and younger than me, all they talked about was their ailments. And I had my surgery last week. I got to go back for my neck surgery. And then my hip. I'm like, I got to get out of here. Because suddenly I felt 20 years older. You know, it's like, so when I see
we know, we just experienced that recently.
Well, that's why when I see you, man, I'm like, when I see you, Timon, I'm like, is this guy ever going to change? You know, it's like, wow, is he going to change? You know, that's encouraging for me. See that, you know,
friends,
everybody's still here. Yeah, man, he's watching home. But let me tell the story about Timon. He used to be my roommate. And all through our Lexi career, I had a nickname for him. Forgive me. I called him Bone. I don't know why I started calling him that. But we were young, and I started calling him that. Bone. What's up, Bone? What's up, Bone? He asked me the other day, why did you call me that? I don't even remember why I started calling you that. But that was his nickname for me. And we shared rooms. So one thing about, I knew something was different about you the whole time, man. I tell my wife that all the time. Something's different about him the whole time. I mean, you were the only one in the group that would never leave the dressing room. And after, you know, everybody would get dressed, run out, you know, meet the ladies and all that. Timar, you wouldn't do that. You'd stay in the dressing room. And I've had women actually offer me money to meet you. You know, I'm like, Well, he won't come out of the dressing room. So that's much. That's, you made me miss a lot of money. I'm gonna let you know that. But he wouldn't. He wouldn't come out of the dressing room because you were true and faithful to the person that you were in a relationship with. And I, you know, I got to tell you, I admired that. Even though I was a bad boy of the group, you know what I'm saying? But I admired that, man. You know, sometimes people look at me and they think, Ricky's so way off. There's no way he could be, you know, in admiration of somebody that's total opposite of him. But I was. I was like, I wish I could do that, but I can't. I can't. I can't do that, you know. But you did. And so one night I went back to our room, and when I got to the door, I thought I was at the wrong room. There was a set of hands in prayer position on the door. You said you don't remember that, Hashima. A hand in prayer on the door. And it said, if you're not a child of God, do not enter this room. And I was like, am I at the right room? So I went in. I said, what's up, Bone? And he said, Ricky, I appreciate it if you don't call me that anymore. Yeah. He said, after all these years, you know, I know him. You know what I'm saying? He said, I'd appreciate it if you don't call me that no more. But I knew what it was instantly. I mean, I might have made light of it, but I knew God had touched this kid. God had touched him. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't surprised with you, though. I wasn't surprised at all, because, you know, anybody who watched you carefully saw that coming, because I knew you well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't surprised when you changed. I was kind of surprised that it happened so abruptly. But
yeah,
I wasn't surprised that you changed. But, yeah, you were always different. And I just want you to know today, man, I respected that and I admired that. I didn't show it. But I did, and it goes back to the guys I was telling you about in prison that did that.
Mm-hmm.
I was total opposite of them, but I admired them, and I wanted to find ways to let them know I admired them. But you did that, and I knew you were going to change. And then I heard that you were in the Word. Then when I heard you were ministering, I'm like, wow, wow. You know, I would say wow, but actually I wasn't surprised. And which brings us up to today, man. We have stories and stories and stories that we can share with everyone. And it's fantastic, unbelievable stuff. Some things I tell people, they don't even believe it. A lot of people don't even believe I was with Lakeside.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, you got people today. You went with Lakeside. Oh, what's his name? So I just leave it alone. Okay, you went with I wasn't. You know what I mean? I just leave it alone. No, you're right. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't.
Yeah.
You know, not with just with Lakeside. We were founders of the whole thing. Because, you know, we started this before we knew Mark and T-Mark, Mark and Tommy.
Yeah.
Remember, we didn't know Mark. We didn't know Mark and Tommy when we started this thing. It was Brian and Tony.
Right.
Me, you, Brian and Tony.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you know, all that time, Mark wanted to sing with us.
Yeah. I remember he wanted to play. First, he came and said he was a drummer. And Mark told me, he said, man, one day, I don't know if you ever should, he said, man, I dream about singing next to you, man. He told me that. And I was like, but I thought you played drums, man. I do. But then when I heard him sing, I was impressed. When I heard him sing the Dale song, "If You Stay," when he sang that, I was like, this kid sounds like a grown man. kid sounds like a grown man. It blew me away, man. That blew me away. And one of the times, I don't know if you knew this or if Mark ever shared it, the last time when I got with the group to stay,
mm-hmm.
I was being released from the county jail in Dayton, Ohio. And Mark was out there.
Mm-hmm.
He said, man, you ready to stay with the group, man? I don't know if Mark remembers, but he came down to the county jail and picked me up and took me to the underground. And the rest is history, man.
Yeah.
All the way to my mother not wanting me to go, you know.
Yeah.
All of that. To California. Mm-hmm.
You know, I guess somebody should write a book or do a movie or something, because there's so many adventures, one after another.
I was trying to get it started with doing the me, you, Mark, and Tommy doing, you know, that's what that was all about, T-Mike. It wasn't about doing a record or getting platinum. Tommy went Hollywood on me. You know, it was about memoirs, stuff for us to share with our grandchildren. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I mean, we had fun. We had a little success, but it was all fun. Look where we ended up. Look where you are. Don't you get joy helping people and bringing people to the world? I'm sure you get a joy out of that. I get a joy out of what I do, man, helping people in any way. I'm not doing it for the money or anything. I'm doing God's will. He appointed me.
Exactly.
He appointed me to do this, and I know he appointed me. It doesn't matter what you say or what you think.
Mm-hmm.
I know why I'm doing this, you know, and I get a joy out of that. I don't want anything for it. If somebody wants to compensate me or give me something for it, fine, but I'm not asking. I'm not asking. There's some kids getting ready to get a big, huge record deal right now, and they're like, man, we're gonna tell Sony Records you don't have to. I'm doing this for you. I know what you feel. You know, I've been there. You know, I just want to help, and that's how I live my life today, T-Mark. That's why I show up. Somebody asked me to. Go ahead.
Somebody asked you what? No, you go.
Somebody asked me to show up for the Lord. I'm there. You don't have to ask me again. You know, I'm there.
Right.
Full on.
Right.
Ready
and you
and my wife. That's how we live our lives.
And that's good, man. You know, time is going so fast, and there's so much that I wanted to cover. I wanted to know how you met your wife. She's such a beautiful spirit, man. Well, listen, we still have a few minutes. Real quick, tell us how you and your wife met.
Yeah, let us know.
She's a singer too. She's a performer, great vocalist.
Oh,
you know, matter of fact, she's always correcting me. You're singing a little, baby, how'd I do? Well, you sang a little flat. you did a great performance like you always do, but you were a little sharp on this right here.
Mm-hmm.
Her father was
Robin.
An original.
Love Robin, I said hi. Oh,
she's
so
definitely
sweet.
Will.
Okay.
Her father was the Ink Spots, you know, the old school group, the Ink Spots. And
right.
Her father told me she used to come to their rehearsals when she was a little kid. Daddy, he's singing wrong. Correcting the grown man.
Mm-hmm.
He's singing wrong. Then next thing I know, she went to Stevie Wonder, went to Wonder Love. Then she went to Wonder Love. To Ray Charles, and I went to one of their rehearsals one time, and I saw her, and she was so cute. I was like, wow. I didn't know any words to say, but I knew it was a connection. So when they finished rehearsing, I walked over to her and kissed her on the cheek. And
that was pretty bold.
Never been. I know, but I didn't see T-Mar. You know, I had a gift of gab. I didn't know what to say. So I just walked over to her and I kissed her on the cheek. And we haven't been apart since then.
Mm-hmm.
That day.
That merit
is
a cup for me.
She shared with me that she didn't like me.
That she
wanted you were too cocky. Too cocky, too arrogant, think you know it all. She said, I didn't like you. She said, but it's just something about when you just walked over and kissed me on the cheek. That did it.
He took control.
How about it?
Yeah.
We've been together. We've been together ever since.
That's beautiful.
That's interesting.
We have five beautiful grown sons. One of my sons, my baby son, is graduating this month, his first 4 years at the university.
That's nice.
Never thought, man, my youngest son, if he gets an A minus, this whole day is messed up. This kid has gotten A's. Our baby son, he's 22. Our baby son, he's just like my pride and joy, man. And I do anything for you. But we have five sons, man, Robin. No girls. Every time one of the babies was born, she would cry. Why are you crying? She wanted a little girl so bad. The house is filled with knuckleheads. Yep. So we share together, man. You know, bad times, good times. We go through it together. You know, like I said, we've been blessed by God. You know?
Are you guys still going to ministry?
Yeah. Yeah, all that. Just like when we came in, what we'll do is, like I said, when somebody invites us, we show up.
Amen.
She still loves to sing. I still love to sing. You know, but you know, I've moved it over to writing and producing and arranging and stuff like that now. But but to sing for the Lord, I don't go out with groups and stuff like that. But if somebody wants me to come and sing for the Lord, I'm there. I'm trying to make up for lost time. He said, "You spent a lot of years out there singing for the world. When you, I'll let you do that.
Now this is mine. We only have a few seconds. Yeah, man. We want to thank you for sure, because there's a lot of things we didn't cover. So we want to thank you for being on the show tonight or on the broadcast. You know, I got to stop saying show. On the broadcast. God bless you, man. And, yeah, we'll make arrangements, for you to come back on again. And we also want to talk to Robin and give her a chance to tell her story. So we'll be talking to you very soon. Okay. God bless, man.
Yeah.
And everybody, thank
you
for tuning in.
Family.
Amen. God bless everyone for tuning in. We'll see you again next week on Christian Talk. Bye bye.
Good night.